Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show on WMAL.
Welcome back to the Eric Stewart Show. Stuart Rosenthal joins me for the Beacon Bits, and that's a bit of our show where we introduce an article out of the Beacon newspaper. Not sure what that is? Well, it's a free publication you can pick up at any number of 1,500 locations here in the metro area. Free, no cost whatsoever, and all the information is useful. Today, Stuart, what are we going to talk about?
Oh, we have some very interesting health stories in this edition. I thought I'd start with one that affects a lot of people. More than 800,000 Americans have strokes every year, and that's caused by a blood clot in the brain. And right now, the best treatment that we have is if you can get to a hospital within a few hours of the first symptoms, they give you this clot-dissolving medicine called TPA. You've probably heard of that.
Sure.
Right. So they were trying to figure out what can they do for people who don't make it in time or for whose TPA doesn't work. So they had been trying to remove the clots from the brain and had not found it to be very helpful. But they recently developed a new kind of device. It's called a stent retriever. It's apparently very similar to a heart stent that, you know, is used to prop open a closed blood vessel. But this mesh stent not only opens the vessel, but it grabs onto the clot and pulls it out, and they remove it entirely from the brain. And they were running studies, three different studies at once on different brands and different types and ways of using it, and all three studies were stopped early because the results were so fantastically good that they wanted everybody to be able to use this right away and not to have to wait.
Really?
Yeah, so it's like it cut the death rate in half for most people. Compared to those who just got the TPA, mm-hmm. And then they also found in terms of long-term disabilities, it very much reduced the problems from 71% of people were free of major disability versus 40% who only got TPA.
Wow!
So it's really it's a game changer, they're calling it now, for people with stroke.
Wow, that's exciting. And they can read more about it in this month's issue of the Beacon newspaper.
That's right.
All right, good.
So here's another study. It's a very different kind of area, but again, something where you might find a reason to hope, and that is if you like saunas. Are you a sauna fan?
Once in a while, I like a sauna.
Well, after you hear this, you may decide to do it more often. They did a study in Finland of men. They started out in their early 50s, and they followed them for more than 20 years. Mm-hmm. And they discovered, again, it's hard to believe, and this is only an observational study, it's not like a control study,
right,
but that deaths were far fewer among those who used saunas at least four times a week compared to those who only used saunas once a week. And in Finland, everybody uses saunas sometime because every home apparently is built with a sauna in the basement. It's very common. And the hotter the sauna and the longer that the sessions lasted, the better the people did.
Well, now, so just for those who don't know what a sauna is, this is a very hot room. It's I think it gets up to 115, 120
174 degrees.
174?
That's what it says in the story.
Good night. I had no idea it was that warm.
Yeah, well, you can adjust the heat somewhat because, you know, they have these sometimes these heated rocks and you pour water on them to give a burst of steam and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And that apparently is used to regulate the temperature. But they say on average it's 174 degrees in this particular, in Finland at least.
Wow.
And they find that they had fewer deaths from heart attacks, fewer strokes, and fewer deaths from all causes. And other research has suggested that saunas might also improve your exercise capacity and lower your blood pressure if you have hypertension. Apparently a lot of benefits. They don't quite know why, but they're finding that it seems to be pretty clear from a lot of different studies.
So how long are people supposed to spend?
Well, they compare the people who stayed in there the longest were more than 19 minutes at a time. Those who stayed in there, the other group was like less than 11 minutes. And they found that fatal heart-related deaths were less common in those who stayed more than 19 compared to those who spent less than 11. So there may be other details in the study when you look at it online in the Journal of the American Medical Association. But that's what our story says.
Well, okay, so follow-up question to that is you've got saunas and you've got steam rooms, and they oftentimes are together at the same,
That is true.
Right. So what are you supposed to do first? Do you have any idea?
Well, the researchers who did this study say they can't respond about steam rooms or hot tubs. They don't know because they didn't actually study them. They only studied saunas. It was in Finland and only of people who use saunas. But, they seem to think that the things that seemed to work about the sauna was that it was very hot and very humid, and that added physiological changes in the cardiovascular system, and that it was a relaxing for people. It relaxed their tension, and it was the camaraderie of being with other people in that kind of a setting. So all those things seem to me to apply to steam rooms and hot tubs, but I'm not a doctor, so I can't say.
Well, you want to read more about it? Pick up your free copy of the Beacon newspaper. You can read it online at thebeaconnewspapers.com. or you can pick one up at 1,500 locations, or you can call them today. And what's the best number for them to call?
301-949-9766.
Very good. 301-949-9766 for more information about the Beacon newspaper. Thank you, Stuart.
Thank you, Eric.
I'm very happy to have Scott McAllister. He is one of my new best friends. I'm grateful to have him on the show, and he is the director at Maplewood Park Place, which is a CCRC, Continuing Care Retirement Community, located in Bethesda, Maryland. Originally, this was developed by Marriott, I believe, back in the 90s. And in fact, my grandma and grandpa lived there initially. Scott, it's great to have you on the show. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Eric. I look forward to our conversation today. It's a real honor.
Well, the honor's mine. And what I love about the community that you run is that it's a little different than all of the other CCRCs in the metropolitan area, as far as I know. It is a cooperative. And tell us a little bit about what that means.
Correct. It is a cooperative CCRC, as you said. And what it means is that our owners, as a collective group, own the land, the building, and all of the contents in the building.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not a resident. Together, they are our ownership group. And there are two boards of directors that I report to that manage Maplewood on a daily basis.
And those board of directors include the owners of the community.
Correct.
Right?
So we truly create the vision that they have for their senior years.
If you're interested in going online as we're discussing Maplewood Park Place, I want you to go to maplewoodparkplace.com. And there you can see the floor plans, the about directions, healthcare, community, and information about the community, maplewoodparkplace.com. So the idea of cooperative, people think of ownership, they think of condo, and then co-op has been sort of a hard understanding. It's been a hard explanation in my career in real estate, 27 years explaining people a co-op. I have a co-op in Washington, D.C., in Harbor Square Condominiums in Southwest, overlooking the rebuilding of the harbor there. And essentially, there are shares that a person owns in the particular building for that space that's there. So there are co-ops there. There are co-ops in Cabin John, Maryland. There are co-ops in lots of places. And the way you finance a co-op is traditionally the same way you would finance any other purchase, but with a specific lender who handles co-ops for a living. And it's ownership in a way in that you can rise with the market and, you know, accordingly as value for real estate has risen in Bethesda, we've seen the value of the co-ops also go up. Correct?
Correct. This is a freestanding real estate transaction, just like any other cooperative or condominium. What makes us unique in the senior living industry, and I speak to a lot of seniors as well as their adult children, and to simplify it, the difference is that when they are in they not only own their apartments and control their life in their apartments, but when they step into the public space, whether it's the hallways, the dining room, the healthcare center, they are in control of that area as well as an ownership group. It's not some outside senior living company or some international bank or insurance company that owns the real estate. It's our seniors that own the land and the property.
My parents live in Naples, Florida, mm-hmm. and they're in a lovely cooperative community, CCRC, there in Naples. And as I understand it, there's really just a handful in the whole country.
What I know is that there are approximately six senior living cooperative communities in the entire country.
Yes. Okay. So Glenview is one of those, and Maplewood Park Place here is one of those.
Correct.
Scott, I'm thrilled that you've invited me to speak coming up in just a few weeks, actually, April the 15th. I'll be speaking at Maplewood Park Place on how to right-size, how to downsize your living from maybe a larger home that you're in, or maybe you're in a condominium, but you want to get the quality of care, and maybe you don't want to give up on ownership. Maybe the idea of buying a lifestyle is a challenge to you, which many communities, which are wonderful communities in their own right, do not offer the cooperative ownership that you do. There are rentals and there are lifestyle purchases, but here you actually have ownership rights.
Well, there are tremendous benefits. There are obviously, as you mentioned, there's the appreciation of the real estate asset.
Mm-hmm.
There are tax benefits on a yearly basis for ownership, as well as supporting the healthcare system at the CCRC, whether you use the healthcare or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is the benefit of that, the daily cost of that health care, because as an organization, we take our profits and we reinvest them into the community to reduce the overall cost of the health care.
Love it. So on the 15th at 12 noon, lunch and learn with me on right-sizing your home and selling your home for top dollar here in the D.C. area. Please come out and visit. If they'd like to RSVP for that, what's the best way?
To call us at Maplewood, 301-530-0500. That's 301-530-0500. And just ask for our sales department. We've already sent out a postcard highlighting your talk and lunch, and we've already had a tremendous response. I think it's the biggest challenge for seniors today to look at their what they've accumulated over 30 to 40 years and figure out how they are going to right size.
Fascinating. And if you mention the Eric Stewart Show when you RSVP, we'll have a special gift for you at the event. Thank you very much. And I'd like to have you back on the show next week. Let's talk a little bit more about right-sizing then, okay?
Definitely.
Great. I'll be right back with more of the Eric Stewart Show in just a moment.